Well, happy Father's Day, Devin.
It's great to see everyone. Thanks so much, worship team. That was an awesome morning. Thank you for that. It's great to be able to come together and worship God together. Amen. In case you're wondering, as it's already Kevin already said, I'm Bert, one of the pastors here. And if you're a dad today, God wants you to become a godly leader. That's what I want to talk about today. He wants you to become a godly leader in your home, in your workplace, in your community, in your social life, and in the church. Last week, we were challenged to become leaders in our world, all of us. Challenged to become leaders because the world is sorely lacking in good leaders today. Everyone wants to do what's right in their own eyes, right? And not be responsible for anything or anyone else. They don't want to be told what to do. But the fact remains that nothing is ever accomplished without a team and a leader. While it's true that many inventions were created by individuals, you wouldn't even know that they existed if it wasn't for a team coming together to actually manufacture those things, right? Many people think that Henry Ford, next slide, invented the gasoline-powered automobile. He didn't. It was invented by Carl Benz in Germany. Of course, I had to get some sort of cars in here on Father's Day. Even if we don't have cars, we have the makers of cars. The thing is, what Ford did, even though he didn't invent the automobile, what he did invent was the assembly line. The assembly line is a team of people, each with their own job and expertise. That would be the next slide. There you go. But working together to manufacture and assemble his automobiles on a massive scale. Now, if Ford had not been an exceptional leader, then he would have built his cars alone, right? And instead of the F-150 being the best-selling vehicle in the world, he would have probably only built 150 of them. And a similar thing can be said about the church. Without good leadership, it would have petered off by the second century. But because Jesus prioritized developing leaders, his team has grown to become the largest organization in the entire world. The term the Bible uses for this leadership development is discipleship, which is a Latin term. Why English translations of the Bible still use Latin terms, I have no idea. Drives me nuts, but it is what it is. The point is that every church, every team, every group, every business, and every family needs good leadership. Of course, no leader is perfect. Every leader has their fault, has their weaknesses, right? Every leader has, as well, their own strengths. I've known people who've led successful businesses, but failed miserably at leading their own family. I've been a leader for many years. I've coached sports teams. I've chaired boards not-for-profits, and I've even directed housing society. I've been a pastor for 35 years. I started when I was 12. But none of these things have made me a perfect leader. I'm far from perfect, but they have helped me to become a better leader. However, I've only grown as a godly leader because I follow the greatest leadership manual in the world. And as much as the world needs leaders, it is desperate for dads daring enough to become godly leaders. Gentlemen, your family, your colleagues, your friends, your employees, your bosses need you to become godly leaders. So today we're going to take a look at some scriptures that deal with this very thing. We're going to look at the three primary qualities that God expects from a leader. These are the foundation of successful leadership, but are absolutely essential qualities for godly dads to possess. Okay? And they're universal, though. So that means they'll work for anybody, folks. Men and women, old and young. So don't check out if you're not a father today, because this is for all of us. Okay? Now, most of the verses that we're going to look at today come from the Bible's book of Proverbs. It has an enormous amount of material on leadership, actually. But a lot of times we miss the lessons because they'll use terms like the king, right? The king should be blah, 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 right? A good king does this, a good king does that. But every time you hear the word or read the word king, just swap it over for leader. And you'll discover there's art. Tons of good leadership lessons that deal with all kinds of leadership issues for each one of us. But since it is Father's Day, each point that I have today will address dads. If you've looked at your outline, you already see that. But they'll show us all how to become effective and empowered leaders in our own context, wherever we are. And so let's get into it. The first quality is that daring dads live with integrity. They live with integrity. Proverbs 20:28 says, "Love and truth form good leaders. Sound leadership is founded on loving integrity." You know, as a young man, my dad always told me, "Your word is your bond. Your word is your bond." And that means that a person's promise or commitment is trustworthy and must be honored. This phrase emphasizes the importance of integrity and reliability in one's word. If you say you're going to be there, you're there. And you're not late. You're not on time. Guess what? You're early. Right? Gentlemen are all going, yep. Jesus put it like this. Say just a simple, yes, I will, or no, I won't. Your word is enough. To strengthen your promise with a vow shows that something is wrong. The most important quality that a leader must have is credibility. You got to be credible. If you have no credibility, there's no trust. If you have no trust, guess what? You have no followers. No followers, you're not a leader. All leadership is built on trust. If people trust you, they'll follow you. If they don't trust you, they simply won't. You may have the title, but you're not the leader. So where do you get trust? All trust comes from integrity. People will look at your life and say, does that person have integrity? Do they keep their word? Are they trustworthy? If you are, people will naturally be willing to follow you. And again, if you don't, they won't. And this is especially true with our kids, right? I see too many families today where the kids don't follow their parents' rules. Because there's no integrity. The parents make a rule, but every time the kids push the boundaries, one parent gives in, moves the boundary line, right? And that lack of integrity causes instability in the home and in the child. There's also a great lack of integrity. So apparent in our national leaders, right? Most of the prominent leaders in our country are more interested in their image than in their integrity. Image is what people think you are. Integrity is who you really are. Character is who you are in the dark. King David is considered to be the most prominent leader in Israel's history, right? I want you to listen to what the Bible says about him. It says, David shepherded them, or shepherded the nation, with integrity of heart, and with skillful hands he led them. Two phrases, integrity of heart and skillful hands, right? These are two important qualities of leadership. Integrity of heart refers to character. Skillful hands refers to competence. Can they do the job? Character and competence are two qualities that are essential for good leadership. Some people say competence is all really that matters in leadership, not what they do in their private lives. Truth is, what you do in your private life will always spill over into your public life. Really, that's pretty much the very definition of integrity, is that your public life and your private life are exactly the same. There's no difference between them. Anytime you segment your life, it shows a lack of integrity. This is my school life. This is my work life. This is my family life. This is my sex life. This is my fun life. This is my church life. If you break it all up like that, that shows a lack of integrity. The word integrity itself comes from the word integer. Any mathematicians here? An integer means a unit of one, a wholeness. It doesn't mean perfection, because nobody's perfect, right? God doesn't look for perfect people to be leaders, because there aren't any. God, it seems, when you read through the Bible, it almost seems like God purposely looks for people with some pretty glaring faults at times. Don't have it all together to become leaders, so that it proves it's not about us. It's not about our abilities. It's all about Him. He can use all of us and does use us. I don't know if you've ever considered, but you do not have to be perfect to be a leader. You just have to be honest about your imperfections. In other words, what you see is what you get. Right? How I act on the platform is how I act in the foyer. How I act in the foyer is how I act at home. How I act at the mall, at the sports field, at the arena. How I act with my parents, the police, parishioners. That's just a fancy word for church people. Integrity means I don't wear a mask at any time. Right? Not phony, not fake. Doesn't mean I'm perfect. Far from it. It just means here's my imperfections. You get it all. The whole kit and caboodle. Proverbs 10:9 says, people with integrity have a firm footing. It means they don't slip, they don't stumble. But those who follow crooked paths slip and fall. So if you are always trying to be somebody else or do something that's not you, it's gonna cause you to fall on your face, basically, eventually, right? It's going to humble you in some way, shape, or form. See, what it needs more than visionary and genius leaders is godly leaders. Leaders with integrity. Those who are not interested in their image, but live with integrity. It's the first thing God looks for in a leader, I believe. God blesses those with integrity. But the second thing he looks for, I've already alluded to, and it's equally important, and that's daring dads lead with humility. They lead with humility. And I know I've talked about this a lot, but it's pretty important, I think, because Jesus actually showed his followers a whole new way of leading, a new standard for leadership. He said the effectiveness of leadership is not determined by how many people serve you. It's determined by how many people you serve. Right? And I read this passage last week. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. You know, the thing I've noticed over the years is that most leaders, and the reason people get into leadership is they want to make a difference. They really do. They're like, you know, if I could just do this, maybe I could make a difference in the world or make a difference in our community, make a difference in that person's life or whatever. They want to do well. They go into business, they go into government, academics, ministry, or whatever, hoping that somehow they can make a difference. But somehow, slowly through that process, their service becomes serve us. Serve me. How do I take care of my own interests? How do I consolidate my power? How do I get reelected? How can I get people to serve me instead of me serving them? So why is humility important in good leadership? Because if you do not humble yourself and serve others, then you'll end up only serving your own pride, which is the number one destroyer of godly leaders, and really the number one destroyer of all of us. Why? Because God himself will oppose you. Why don't you look at a couple of things? James says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. In Proverbs, it says, pride leads to disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. Here we have two sides, right? Grace, disgrace. Which of those do you want in your life? The Bible says humility leads to grace, but pride leads to disgrace. So why does God hate pride so much? Well, because it really is the worst sin. And that may shock you. The worst sin is not adultery. It's not even murder. The Bible says the worst sin is pride because it leads to all the others. It caused an angel to fall and become the devil. And it's the very thing he used to tempt people, to tempt Adam and Eve. Eat this fruit because you will become like God. And that is the fundamental problem with pride. It promises godhood, but it delivers God's judgment. That means every time I think I'm hot stuff, every time I think I'm important, I've got it all together, when arrogance or ego or pride starts to creep into my life, God says, Bert, since you think you're such hot stuff, I'm against you from now on. Let's see how good you do. Guess what, folks? I'm going to lose that battle every time because my arms are way too short to fight with God. And so are yours. James 4:10 says, humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up. Be humble or you will stumble. And that tells me that humility is actually a choice I can make. You are to humble yourself. It's not your job to humble any other person. whether it's your spouse, your kids, anyone else. It's not your job to humble them. Humility is something you do to you alone. Other people might humiliate you, but you humble yourself. How do you do that? And it's simple. The Bible tells us just be interested in other people. Be interested in other people. When you're thinking about what God wants and you're interested in what the needs of other people, what would help them, then you do not have time to think about yourself. I want you to listen to what the early church leader, Paul, told the church in Philippi. He says, when you do things, do not let selfishness or pride be your guide. Instead, be humble. Give more honor to others than to yourself. Don't be interested only in your own life, but be interested in the lives of others. So when you build up other people, guess what? God builds you up. But when you build yourself up, God says he's going to bring you down. Proverbs again says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. In other words, he who gets too big for his britches will eventually be exposed in the end. Take a minute for a few of you to catch that, but that's okay. What we need to do is take God a whole lot more seriously and take ourselves a lot less seriously, folks. It's the ability to laugh at yourself. Did you know that the word humor and humility both come from the same root word? Humus, not hummus, in case you're wondering. It's humus, which means of the earth. So humility is really just being down to earth. And the Bible says that when we live this way, there are tremendous benefits that come with it. I want you to look what the Lord says, what it says in Proverbs 22. True humility and fear of the Lord lead to riches, honor, and a long life. That means God rewards the humble, right? If you want riches, anybody? If you want honor, if you want a long life, then you need to start leading your family, your friends, your colleagues with humility. Serving them above yourself. There's one more leadership characteristic that God says he'll bless. That's daring dads. So first, they live with integrity, they lead with humility, and thirdly, they love generously. They love generously. And generosity is such a big issue with God, just like humility, because it makes us more like him. Generosity makes us like God. Everything you have is because of the generosity of God. You would have nothing, zip, nada, if it wasn't for God's generosity. God so loved the world that he gave. You can give without loving, and you can live without giving, but you cannot love without giving. The hallmark of whether a person is genuinely a loving person is whether they are generous. I cannot say I'm a loving person if I'm not a generous person. Because really, they are synonymous. Generosity is love in action. The book of Psalms says this, they give generously to those in need, so their good deeds will never be forgotten. They will have influence and honor. Dads, if you want to be a godly leader with influence and honor, you must learn this principle of generosity. Again in Proverbs, a generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Here again, we find this principle of serving others, right? Helping others, refreshing others. You can't get away from it because it exemplifies God's heart towards us. When daring dads generously step up to serve in places of leadership, everyone benefits. Remember how I said replacing the word king with leader is a good way to find some good leadership lessons? I want you to look at this next passage. It's in Psalm 72. And we're going to do this. It says, may the leader be refreshing like spring rain. It was king, but may the leader be refreshing like spring rain on freshly cut grass, like outside, like the showers that water the earth. He will help the poor when they cry out and will save the needy when no one else will help. He will be kind to the weak and poor. He will save their lives. He will save them from cruel people who try to hurt them because their lives are precious to him. This tells me godly leadership. Godly leaders care about the marginalized, about those who are weak, who are infirmed, who are aged, who are victimized. All the people who have no influence and no one to speak up for them. God cares for the vulnerable. Therefore, he expects us to step up and care for them. In fact, when we do, he says he'll reward us. Again, look at Proverbs 19, 17. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deeds. So God says, whenever you give to the poor, whenever you help the poor, I consider that a loan, he says. It's a loan, and I'm going to be the one to pay it back. They can't pay it back, but I'll pay you back. That's amazing to me. Anytime you give to the poor, God himself promises to pay you back. Did you know that there are more promises in the Bible about generosity than any other subject? It's not even close. It's like 10 to 1. Far more promises in the Bible are about generosity than any other subject. Why? Because God wants us to become like him. Pride is us wanting to become like God. Generosity, all his promises are because he wants us to become more like him. Proverbs 11, 24, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. That's another promise. It's going to happen, he says. If you're generous, your world's going to get larger. When you love people generously, your world grows. What's that mean? Well, we already saw it in Proverbs 22:4, didn't we? Your wealth grows, your influence is going to grow, and your lifespan will grow. Because God is a loving, generous father. He blesses dads who dare to love generously. So today we've looked at three characteristics that God says are the most important in godly men and godly leaders. Integrity, humility, generosity. The reason these are so important, and I think especially for us men, is because they will protect you from the three most common leadership temptations, and really just temptations. John was the closest friend and follower of Jesus. He warned the early church that all the things the world can offer you, the allure of pleasure, the passion to have things, and the pompous sense of superiority do not come from the Father. Passion for pleasure, possessions, and position. These are the three great temptations of life, right? And leadership. Essentially, sex, salary, and status. Satan has used them all throughout history. Ever since the beginning of the world, he's been tempting people with these same three things. The allure of pleasure is wanting to feel good, whether it's right or wrong, whether it hurts others or not. If it feels good, do it. The desire for possessions is greed. I see it and I want it. It's a temptation to have. Whether I can afford it or whether it already belongs to somebody else doesn't matter. I must have it. Sense of pride is wanting to be envied. I want people to look up to me. I want them to be jealous of me. I want to be God. All three of those temptations, pleasure, possession, position, are as old as time, folks. But guess what? We still fall for them. We're not ignorant of them, but we still fall for them. Especially men in leadership seem to be the most susceptible. That's why God gives us these three antidotes. The antidote to the allure of pleasure is integrity. The antidote to the desire for possessions is generosity. The antidote to pride and position is humility. Isn't that amazing? God gives us the answers. That's why, gentlemen, if you focus on integrity, humility, and generosity, you will succeed. As a godly leader in your home, in your workplace, in your community. And remember, as a bonus, God says he will bless you with riches, honor, and long life. Sounds like a win-win-win to me. But as I end all this talk today, I need to tell you that none of these promises that we've looked at today are absolute. That means they're not universal. You don't automatically get them. There's a premise for each of God's promise. Not only, God only blesses godly leaders, those who reflect his heart with these things. And you can never become good enough to become godly. Only God can make you godly. That's why Jesus came into the world, to cleanse us from our filthiness, which the Bible calls sin. He came and died to save you from sin's punishment, which is eternal death and damnation. All that God requires of you is that you believe who Jesus is and what he's already done for you. And then let him lead your life from now on and forever. And if you'd like to do this today, ask us all to bow our heads together. And you can just pray along silently with me. And God will hear you, and he will receive you as his child. He'll save you and give you a life of eternal purpose. And he'll start to make you into a godly leader. And if this is you today, you want to pray this prayer for the first time, could you just quickly raise your hand so I know who I'm praying with, and then we'll pray together, all of us. Thank you. Let's pray. Dear God, I need you. Thank you that you only want the very best for me. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me, to take away my sin and shame. Please come into my life and save me right now. I want to live with integrity. I want to live humbly. And I want to love generously, just like you, Lord. Please help me to get to know you better and to trust you more. I want to learn to love others like you do. So I give myself to you. I give my life to you. I want to be used for your purposes, God. And I want to lead others to you. So I pray all this in Jesus' name. Thanks, God. Amen. Amen. If you did pray that prayer for the first time, could you please do me a favor? Fill in that connect card that's in the seat in front of you, or it's linked to the video online. And you can just, if you're here, you can take it and drop it off at the red table in the back there. There'll be somebody there waiting to connect with you. There's some resources there they'd love to share with you. And if you need prayer for anything, they'd love to do that as well and just connect with you and minister to you however they can. But with that, I want to thank you.